Welcome to an all-star audio commentary for episode 1FO2, Homer Goes to College, originally broadcast October 14th, 1993. My name is Matt Groening.
Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
Jim Brooks.
Jim Reardon directed it.
David Silverman, supervising director.
And Conan O'Brien, I wrote the episode and created all the characters. The check is on its
Conan,
way.
Conan, do you get pangs when you hear the theme? Does something pull you back?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think those were good times. My life will never be that good again. No, I have a lot of fond memories working on this show. It was a lot of laughs.
And of course, as we've talked before in this commentary, we have lots of fond memories of you, Conan.
I just remember him walking out on the contract.
That was a very very tenuous, tumultuous time.
Yes. I'll never forget the Fox executive who made me pay about $130,000 in order to go replace David Letterman. I'll never forget that.
We're from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. This is a surprise test of worker...
They put that money right back into programming, I'm sure.
How many episodes do you have writing credit on?
It went into an episode of Herman's Head, let's see. I don't know, actually, how many I have a writing credit on. I'm sure someone else will know that. Someone will write in on an email and tell us.
Led them into the basement.
This was an idea that I really loved, which is that Homer would go to college, but that his entire perspective of what college is based on sort of bad Animal House ripoff movies. And so I was really happy that this episode was actually made. And this is probably, this is around the period where we started making Homer way too dumb.
Just getting started.
Yeah, this began the, you know, Homer forgetting to make his heart beat and cells in Homer's body being so stupid they forget to divide.
At Homer, really I remember swelled you, up. What? A bee bit my bottom and now my bottom is
big. Yes. A famous, people constantly quote that line, I have to say. It's in many, many famous books of quotes.
What do I do?
To show the intelligence of the Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. To show that we all have college education. A bee bit my bottom.
Now this is Homer Goes to College. Conan, did you actually go to college?
I did not. Uh-huh. I'm an Irish immigrant. But fortunately, these Lampoon fellows took me in as a bootblack. In college. And they were kind enough, they brought me to The Simpsons to help out with laundry and things like that. And this is one of the episodes where, like Oliver Twist, I was given a chance to rise.
This is actually one of my favorite things, is that there was a meltdown, even though there was no nuclear material in the van.
Yes, yeah, there was no van, which they comment on, I think, in a little bit.
They do, yes. Yes.
I'm still not sure how he caused the meltdown. There wasn't any nuclear material in the truck.
Oh, very well, it's time for your bribe. Now.
Yes, do writers, I'm guessing they still love writing for Mr. Burns. It's the most fun character, I think. Right? Everyone loves.
It's not fun at all anymore. It was 10 years ago. Now it's tedious and repetitive.
So Jim Reardon, do you remember this episode? Do you remember animating it?
I do remember there were a lot of shots of things being framed through windows. I don't know why. But,
I remember you doing the performance of the box.
Oh, yeah. I like the way Matt asked, do you remember any of this? Because
no,
the implication was that Jim was drunk at the time.
No, these were the years that Jim doesn't remember. It's that old idea of pencil mileage. You know? Like, do you remember that many thousands of miles of pencil drawing?
Well, the opening shots of everybody sleeping is pretty much the animation studio, I think. That's where we based that on.
Yeah, no, these things just direct themselves.
Well, this is a wonderfully written episode by Conan, and also a terrifically directed episode by Jim. And I always loved working on the episodes that Jim directed. He did such a great job, and later on became our supervising director because we loved him so much.
And then left.
And then he left, yeah. As soon as he knew that we really liked him, that's when he left. As did Conan at this time. Now, this
is... I had to go. I was working on this episode when the whole craziness that I think Dave Merkin will remember erupted, where Letterman had left and there was this opening at NBC and they were looking around the country for who will replace him. about 60 crazy things had to happen at the simultaneously in order for me to get this job. But I remembered it was all happening as I was working on this episode. So I'd get these phone calls from Jay Leno saying, oh, you know, so I hear you might replace Letterman. Who are you, by the way? And then I have to go. I have to go. I have to write my Simpsons episode. It's about Homer Goes to College. So this was a very insane part of my life.
Let's see. List your three favorite books and how they've influenced your life.
Is TV Guide a book?
No.
Son of Sniglet?
No.
Catherine Hepburn's Me?
No.
Oh, I suck.
It was a particularly insane time because I had, you know, just recently taken over the show, and there were a lot of writers that had moved on that had gotten so burnt out on The Simpsons, and other things had called and beckoned, and I was rebuilding the staff at that point. And Conan was my rock. He was the guy that had already been there.
He hit it faster than anybody, but there's stories about the first day in the room with him.
Yes, there are. There are, and they've been told in the other DVD, I think, too. Really good stories about that, yeah. But I was really...
I don't mean just the eating habit thing. I mean, you know, what he contributed.
Huge. I mean...
Is it about my acne?
But yeah.
But prominent faster than anybody. Prominent faster than anybody. Isn't that true?
He was stunning in the room.
That's the story I like to tell.
Exactly. Conan was not only funny in his contributions to the show, and this has been said before, and I'll back it up yet again. He was also hilarious to watch. He would be pitching for the show, but also be doing jokes just for the room and doing characters just for the room. Just for a corner of the room. You know? The most needy person in the world. When we would go home after 2:30, 3 o'clock, he'd stay and do work for the janitors, make them laugh. You know, Conan really was so right to get this job because he basically had his show going for years before in a room or with anybody who would watch. And we were all immediately huge fans because what a terrific writer Conan was also coupled with what a nice guy he was and how supportive he was of everyone else as well.
This is like a eulogy. I'm really
Jesus Christ.
It. No, it's really true. And Conan, aren't you dying? I heard you're dying.
The only good man in reply is to drop dead.
You know. I have Lou Gehrig's disease.
See, Conan told us that.
Comedy writer that ever lived.
He told us that before the commentary, you know, so we'd say nice things.
But what was funny is when I, this whole thing was sort of coming to a head, and there was a lot of like, well, can this guy replace Letterman? This can't happen. I remember John Swartzwelder sitting in the room and saying, I think I'd watch your show. I've been enjoying, and in that John Swartzwelder way, he was like smoking a cigarette, all things you can't do now, 2004. He was like smoking a cigarette, and he just said, I've enjoyed watching you in the room, I'd watch your show. This is one of my favorite jokes in the episode, by the way.
It's fantastic.
So Burns, I'm thrashing you with age, if you like.
I like wanting you just
I like how he just says,
stop that.
Stop that.
It's great.
Smithers, dismember the corpse and send his widow a corsage.
Woohoo! I'm a college man! I won't need my high school.
This is great, too. He's the guy that's so smart as the house comes up.
Didn't Dan Castellaneta ad-lib SMRT?
This was Dan's.
SMRT.
Yeah, I think Jim,
that was a mistake that Dan made.
That is a classic. That's classic.
That's a classic Dan ad-lib.
It's the funniest fire ever.
And a lot of times that's what happens. When Dan actually gets into the... sorry not to talk about you for a second, Conan.
That's okay. I actually hired Dan for the same thing.
When Dan gets into Homer's character, his IQ literally goes down, and he'll make Homer-type mistakes in his readings sometimes that we actually use in the show, and it's fantastic. I mean, Dan so embodies the character that he'll actually make these perfect in-character mistakes that we can use.
Wasn't the fifth year among the worst in terms of hour crunching?
Yes, because I had to hire a whole new staff, and because Conan deserted us illegally, by the way, which that's still pending with Fox, and hopefully
that came much later.
Stole
it
with
it?
That honor thing.
Yeah, that was. We're still hung up on that.
No, actually, what happened?
So
you know,
wait. Isn't it true though that after Fox toying with you and messing with you, tried to hire you back to do a show? Those negotiations must have gone well.
Did they? I don't remember that. I don't remember. I mean, I remember, you know, there was a lot that had to be worked out quickly when I
think
got
it's still listed as sick leave.
You still owe three.
I'm still paying off that.
You owe three scripts.
Boy, I can't wait to take some of the starch out of that stuffed shirt.
Good morning and welcome to Nuclear Physics 101. I see a lot of new faces, but...
Yeah, I actually got the call. We were recording an episode. I forget which episode we were recording. And the phone rang, and I went and got the phone, picked up, and they said it was for me. And it was just after we had done the reading, and we were about to go do the recording in the basement. And I got the call that I had this job.
Who called?
Was it was actually my agent, Gavin Pallone, called and said, you got 30. And,
wow.
And
wow.
Then I remembered they wanted me on The Tonight Show that night, which I was against. I said, I don't want to do that. That's crazy. We need to. And they were like, nope, you're going out there, kid. And they just sort of threw me out there, you know, with like orange makeup. It was a freak show. I mean, that morning I had been at The Simpsons.
Wow.
And that night I was on Leno. And the next morning I walked outside and I was on the cover of newspapers and I was listed in the phone directory. So I had phone calls from DJs on my answering machine from all across the country. And it's all been downhill ever since. I yearn for these simpler times.
Well, the thing that happened before that is that this whole thing with Letterman leaving 12:30 and moving to CBS and Leno, and so that slot being open, the first person to talk to me about it was Gary Shandling, and they had asked Gary to consider it. And Gary was a friend of mine, having worked on Larry Sanders and the show before. And, you know, Gary decided and he didn't want to do television every night and whatever. And then I knew that they were very interested in Conan executive producing that show. Do you remember that, Conan? There was a talk.
Initially, yeah. Lauren suggested me for that.
Yes, and I knew that that was...
Hello.
Hello, Dean. You're a
yes?
Homer, is that you?
We have this odd... the reason we stopped talking is that Conan's in New York, we're in Los Angeles, and there's this odd, you know, time thing that goes on by talking through these T1 lines or whatever, so we seem to interrupt each other sometimes.
Actually, we're all in the same room, but there are just very awkward moments.
It really always does sound like that, too. I once had my agent call me from Italy, and I didn't know he was from Italy. And I said, hey, is everything okay? And there's a long pause. He goes, yeah, sure. And I thought, oh, no, there's big trouble. But it was really just the Italian connection. But, yeah, so I knew that they were after Conan for this job, and that was something that... We would never release a writer-producer for because truthfully, on The Simpsons, people are trying to raid our group all the time because
right.
They're some of the most talented people in the world. And so Conan then told me he wanted to talk to me, and I assumed that he was coming in my office to say, you know, I really want to go executive produce this show.
Huh.
And I was going to say, no, you know, I love you, and I need you here, and, you know, whatever. And he comes in, and Conan is nothing if not smart, and he really set me up very nicely. He sort of said, you know, they want me to be in the show, and you were even wondering whether you wanted to do this, and we had a long conversation.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. And you actually said a very smart thing. You said, the real trick is, he said, you'd be really funny doing the show for a night, but do you want to do this every night? Because that's and
so you're trying
no
to talk him out, of
find
it.
Out before you. Yeah, and no, he was just saying what was true, and then I said I have no idea. Like I have to just go into this and find out.
Well, and also I encouraged. I said first of all, if someone asks you to do a job like this, you want to be in a position to turn it down. And what they were asking him to do was audition and actually go do The Tonight Show here on The Tonight Show set, do the Conan O'Brien show on The Tonight Show set in town as an audition, a real show with an audience. And there was no question in our mind when we saw it. I only talked to him about, do you want to be able to do this, have to do it every night, which is an amazing pressure if you think about it. And he thought about that, but at the same time, I really insisted that he do the audition because I said, you can never walk away from an opportunity like this. I
mean, who were the interviews? Who were the...
It was Mimi Rogers and
the interviews
who else?
Were actually it was Mimi Rogers and Jason Alexander. It was a surprise.
Wow.
I showed up at the Tonight Show not knowing who it would be.
Wow.
And then they said, here's who the guests are, and here's some information. I had about, I think I had a half an hour, 40 minutes to just look over their stuff.
There he is conferring an honorary degree on Richard Nixon. And here he is rolling in his own filth. Gentlemen, I propose we kidnap Sir Oinks-a-Lot.
I would say that interview with the interview with Meanie Me Rogers was one of the very best television interviews I've ever seen. I mean, it's fantastic. And I'm sure you probably did. Do you have a tape of your audition somewhere?
I looked at it a couple of years ago, and it's just scared the bejesus out of me. I had brought my own suit jacket, and I looked like crazily unlike someone who should be on television, and I think it's only from years of being on TV now that people have gotten used to the idea.
Curly? Curly?
No! Why, you little...
This actually, I'm looking at the episode, it's reminding me that I had, through my dorm room, there were three guys that lived across in the next dorm, like we shared a bathroom, who were incredible nerds, and they actually had these posters up on their wall of Einstein sticking his tongue out, and they used to throw phone books on the floor so that the girls in nightgowns on the floor below them would come up to complain, and I could get a look at them. And so that's where the idea of nerds like this were sort of partially based on these guys, who all they did were they were always at their computers, and they knew everything about Monty Python.
We should have put that girl beat in the show. I love that. That's fantastic.
Not the wallet inspector. Then they would murder them. So couldn't, you know.
That would have been more exciting than the whole pig thing, I think.
We were a little pressed for time on design, so to save time, we used our old design of one of our directors, Rich Moore, and just colored it black to use for one of the guys. And he's never let me forget it ever since.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, Jim, I love what you did with the pig. You know, when the pig turns around and bites with the curly tail and has these incredible teeth of a monster, that's absolutely hilarious.
Well, we did a lot of research.
Yeah, it's very accurate.
I also love the return of Richard Nixon, one of our favorite guest stars.
They're out of their minds.
Oh, I heard about this. This is the one where Scratchy finally gets itchy.
Wow.
That's great.
But we were so confident that Conan was going to get the job that we animated, we didn't animate yet, but we wrote him into an episode as the host of his own talk show. Right, before you even heard about the audition, Conan, we wrote that scene.
Yeah, it's pretty. I remember when it came out, it was like, well, this may be confusing. If I don't make it, this is going to be very confusing too.
We wrote a backup just in case.
Exactly.
We're going to be able to.
Pat Sajak slides right in. The design model for me and Sajak is shockingly similar.
Start digging some nerd holes.
It's bad enough they put their retainers in the dishwasher. Can't we do something?
Look, I'm sure we can work something out where we can all live in harmony, right, Marge?
By the way, that's Matt Groening's favorite shot of Homer with wall eyes, right? It was very. This actually came back, and this isn't the director's. This is just some of our stuff from Korea. The characters came back. I remember we had a lot of design off-model issues, we say.
That season, their eyes were getting enormously large.
Homer's eyes were getting larger and his hair is getting wacky. We had to have a little chat.
And it's amazing that Matt usually still, when he sees it, just he can't help but go, what is that? He just
I'm biting my tongue.
He's
right,
like,
right
he's
doing a very good job. You hear that growling over here.
It's driving me cuckoo.
Now, this is a scene in which I had trepidations about.
Yeah, I can see why.
And I did. I pushed for that in a big way. But I have to say that we did. We backed off of the sound effect of him getting run over.
Well, didn't he get run over repeatedly in the first version?
He might have gotten pulled around.
He might have gotten dragged. Pulled around is always a
lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He also, it's so, to this day, I mean, I just looked at this episode today, that when Hibbert comes in and shows him that he needs a new hip, that's still a hip operation is one of the most invasive and painful operations.
It is true that the dean was the nicest guy, just because of Homer's having seen movies about college deans. He just assumed, no matter what he said, he was the biggest bastard.
No problem, guys. The important thing is that we wrapped up all the loose ends.
So, in conclusion, good luck on tomorrow's big final exam.
Exam! Oh, this is just like one of those bad dreams.
Actually, I like this show so much that I wanted it to be the season opener. And Conan came and he argued for Rosebud, which was another really lovely episode. And you know, I figured if he didn't really want to go up first, I figured it's okay. And we had a really strong second episode out of the box. And of course, this will actually come across in the commentaries too, is that because we have overlap. We have leftover shows from Mike and Al that actually started the season. And then my shows started, these shows started, and it's the same thing when Bill and Josh take over a couple of my shows, like Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2 starts their season, and then they come in, and you'll see the strange overlap in the DVD commentaries, I suppose.
I can't believe you failed.
Oh, I'm gonna lose my job just because I'm dangerously unqualified.
Mr. Simpson, there is a way. We could, well, use a computer to change your grade.
Computers can do that?
Oh, yes, the only problem is the moral dilemma it raises, which requires...
More a wuzza?
An A+! How did you do it?
Oh, let's just say I had help from a little magic bot.
You changed your grade with a computer?
No!
Way to go, Dad!
Look, the important thing is that we all learned a lesson.
Now, here's where we actually... I remember this. We ended with Homer cheating and getting away with it. But then we had to go back, and Marge has to have a line saying, you've got to go and retake that test. So we did the right thing, finally.
We did the right thing with just a single line, a single...
Yeah, after Homer runs over a man, crushing his hip.
Redeemed him.
Yeah, and cheating so that he can go back to the endangering lives at the power plant, we learn that he has to retake the test. So,
but we drew it really insincerely.
But I really love the... I love the montage at the end.
The freeze frame montage.
The freeze frame montage. Very, very well done.
Yeah.
I love the window stuff. I love all the window stuff in this show.
Yeah.
I don't know why they put windows in every episode.
Yeah, that's it.
That's also a favorite of Conan to write like that with the thing going on in the background. He does enjoy that.
Yeah, something happening in the background. I've always, my favorite example is in Sleeper when Woody Allen is the robot and there's a party going on in the foreground, and in the background there's a Jell-O that's a pudding that's come to life, and Woody Allen's beating it with a stick, and the fact that it's happening in the background makes it the funniest thing in the world.
It does.
To me. So I always.
The only thing wrong with this montage is it looks a lot more exciting than the actual show.
That, right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, Conan, what we're trying to say is, can we come work for you?
Yeah.